I just started mine.
Okay, so we have backups happening. And
Magic Man says London Tea Party, Chuck. Yeah, thank you. I like that.
All right. Well, here we go. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I am Jeff Gamet. I am sitting in for Ewan Rankin, who has decided that he's just too good for us. Life on the yacht is very nice. And to be fair, who can blame him when he can be lounging on the deck of his yacht in the sun with people bringing him drinks and waving fans on him? It's a wonderful life. So I really can't blame him. Actually, in reality, Ewan's schedule has been crazy, and he can't be with us for a couple weeks. So in the meantime, we are pretending like we can run the show as well as he does. And looking at our amazing panel today, I think what I should say is welcome to the American Tech Network with our special friend from the EU. Patrice, how are you today?
Hi, I'm doing good. I was about to say, like, I didn't know Birmingham had like fans or sun at all, or like enough water for a yacht. So I wasn't sure how that would work for you. And so good to know he's busy.
Well, you know, I mean, when I say sun, it might just be the light in the bathroom. And when I say yacht, it might just be a little boat in his bathtub. And when I say people are bringing him drinks, I might mean he has to get out of the bathtub and walk to the fridge and get a beer himself.
That makes more sense. Yeah, that's probably more it.
Yeah, probably.
No, I'm doing good. Has been a nice week. There's a holiday weekend. Like tomorrow, there's a public holiday in I think big chunks of Europe. It's basically Labor Day. And it's a Saturday, so everything is closed here. Like, I had to make sure that I did get my grocery shopping done today. Thank you to our HR lady for reminding me, because I would have forgotten that I would have stood in front of closed doors tomorrow.
That would have
because that's totally me.
That would have really sucked.
I would have survived somehow. Like, it's not the end of the world. There's still delivery and restaurants and stuff, but yeah, it's better that way.
Yeah, but that sad, forlorn feeling when you get to the grocery store and realize it's a day where it's closed, you don't need that.
No, and I would have walked to the farmer's market being very happy about it, because it's one of my favorite places, and there wouldn't have been one.
See, I'm feeling sad about it, and I'm not even there to miss the farmer's market.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I did all my grocery shopping today. I'm all set, and everything can close tomorrow and on Sunday, because Sundays everything is closed here anyway. So I know that sounds crazy for people in the US, and honestly, I'm still not used to it. I grew up in Europe, and I'm still not used to it. I don't know what it is, but yeah, you just have to live with it.
Yeah, and the important thing is you're not going hungry.
No, I mean, that would have not happened anyway. Like, I have more than enough food for me to survive probably at least a week.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you usually have like your basics, like you have some eggs and some flour and some like pasta and tomatoes and like stuff like that, like cereal.
You know, I'm thinking you should do a podcast about food.
Maybe I should.
Chuck, how are you today?
I'm great, Jeff. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. And I'm assuming you're not worried about your shops closing.
I'm not worried about our shops closing, no. But I do think we should clarify something with regard to Ewan. And that is that for a while, for several weeks, Ewan was out injured. And he absolutely deserves our sympathy. Now he's out working like a dog, working hard. And I think he deserves our respect. So just shift your meter from sympathy to respect, because he is off actually really working hard.
He is. And I think I'm using the phrase correctly. I take the piss with Ewan. Did I do it right? Did I do it right?
I think you did.
Because he's my friend.
Okay.
Yeah. And he can take it.
I'm not familiar with that phrase. So, okay.
Well, you know, we are an international podcast. We're very cosmopolitan. So it's appropriate that we use terms like taking the piss.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, I was thinking, you know, I thought it was interesting that you were proposing a takeover to become ACN as opposed to BCN.
Well, yeah. Oh, my God. It's a coup.
Or a excuse
let's
me.
Let's do it.
Yeah. ATN to BTN. Yeah. So.
Yeah. It's a
let's
coup.
Do it. I can change the website.
Good.
Yeah.
If only it weren't May 1st we were talking about, but April 1st.
That's true.
Yes. Okay. Well, next April, by that point, everyone will have forgotten about this, except for us.
Including us.
Oh, wait, including us. All right. Well, then the joke's already lost. Damn.
AS lady, remind us on March 30th.
Actually, not a bad idea.
Yeah. And then on March 30th, your HomePod is going to announce to you, probably while there's other people around, hey, Chuck, don't forget about the coup on the 1st.
Yeah, that'll work out well for me.
Yeah, it's going to work out well. Dave, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. And now that my place is back in order and my cat is safe once again, I should have taken a photo. What was I thinking? I really should have taken a photo.
When I didn't see it. Got my air tags are coming today. I'm excited. I'm putting my order in for my iPad Pro 11 inch. I'm staying with the 11 inch.
Cool.
And did my trade in, and the Apple Card finances it, which is nice. And so some more fun things to look forward to. And yeah, hopefully we'll get the AirTags enough time I can play with it and be able to talk about them tomorrow. So
nice. Well, as far as AirTags go, when this show wraps up today, I'll have to put on pants. And and run over to the Apple store because
I
ordered mine for pickup so that I wouldn't have to wait. And
that's gonna be tight. Isn't there like 11:15 your scheduled time?
Mine's at 11:15 scheduled time.
Yeah.
So I guess what that means is the show's not gonna really run late today because I'm on a schedule, people, and yeah, so that means at some point, I very well could say, okay, we're done talking about this and the show's over.
See ya.
See ya. Bye.
That's fine. That's a very good reason to do that.
And I mean, since nothing even happened this week in like Apple News, I would say that's the show.
There wasn't anything that happened.
I figured we were just going to have to sit here and ramble about picking up air tags that we don't have yet, pre-ordering stuff that's not available yet, and me working on the difference between take the piss with someone and taking the piss with someone, which Bob Beach points out is the correct way for me to say it. So I'm taking the piss with you.
We could always go on my favorite rant that no American would understand, but I like to rant about Apple's pricing in Europe. It makes everything here is expensive and I don't understand why.
Well, I think I understand why. And it's so that Apple can have quarters like it just had.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
There's something to that.
Yep. Apple's earnings report was on Tuesday for their second fiscal quarter. And the numbers were bonkers. Pretty much a holiday quarter set of numbers, which you don't expect for the second fiscal quarter of the year.
No. And they set all-time records in, I think, three segments, and the rest was just like year-over-year records.
Right. So they had 23.6 billion in profit on 89.6 billion in revenue.
I'll take a billion.
Sure. I mean, I think they can just shake that out of the couch at this point.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, they will make that back in, I mean, think about it. 26 billion in 90 days. They can make that back in, what is that, 3 days?
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah. I think they can afford to take a 3-day hit just so that Patrice can have $1 billion.
Yeah, exactly. I'll even share it with you.
Okay. I'm liking this plan even more.
So I want to throw something out here. And this, I can't take credit for this, but MG Siegler tweeted yesterday that Microsoft had an amazing quarter. Apple was more than twice as big and grew more than twice as fast. The iPhone business alone is slightly larger than all of Microsoft, even now in non-holiday quarters. And one more thing, Apple's business minus the iPhone is now the exact same size as Microsoft. Both had $41.7 billion in revenue last quarter.
Yeah, that's a crazy thing. It's one device kind of, or one device category at least.
54%.
Yeah,
that's insane. Like,
it's you know,
if you think about it, everything Microsoft does, all the cloud offerings, OneDrive, like Xbox, every Windows, Office, everything they do, like even their hardware business, everything combined. And for Apple, it's iPhone.
And Apple does it so much better.
Yeah, they do. Really? I think that's part of the reason why they're making that much money.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Okay, I mean, so we have 54% of their revenue was iPhone. And of course, that's a big and notable number. The number that I think right now is more notable than the iPhone, even though it's a smaller percentage of the pie, is services.
Yeah, 19%.
Yeah,
19% going up to 20%. And Chuck, there's a spider going down your left shoulder. Seriously.
You're right, there is.
Oh, I'm sorry, your right shoulder. Your right other shoulder. I can't tell which one it is.
Thank you, Dad.
That's actually a spider. Wow.
Good yeah, that was a real spider.
Well, I could tell it wasn't a fly.
Okay.
I know how spiders move versus flies.
Yes. So. Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, it's not a spider anymore.
Yeah, well, there you go. Anyhow, services, 19% right now on the rise. So nearly 20% of Apple's quarterly revenue came from services and not hardware. So that includes iCloud and, their streaming music services, Apple TV Plus, and their game service, which a lot of people seem to think is crap. And actually, I'm of the belief now that the Apple gaming platform is not crap, but appears to be crap inside the echo chamber. I think outside of our circles, the Apple Game Store is probably doing better than, or is more popular than we think. Otherwise, yeah, they wouldn't be doing the things that they're doing with it.
Yes, it's bonkers.
Yep. You know, I'm not a gamer, but that's an interesting perspective, Jeff. And I've got to start asking some of my non-echo chamber friends who enjoy that kind of thing, if that is the case. I'd never thought about it from exactly that standpoint, because I just don't pay that much attention to games. But if that is true, then that definitely could impact iPhone sales, Apple TV sales, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. So yeah. Maybe that's a filter we need to all start putting just about everything through, is the echo chamber versus the non-echo chamber.
I've been trying to do that more lately.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about that, what did Apple say? 75% I think 75% of all buyers were new buyers or something like that.
50%? Wait, Dave.
I don't remember.
I bet you remember. Like I'm totally putting you on the spot. I'm thinking of the number for Mac buyers.
Yeah.
Which I'm like 50%.
Okay, let's put it this way. A big chunk. A big yes. chunk of all buyers of all Apple products were new buyers.
Oh, so no, first 50%. Time buyers. 50%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. New iPads and new Macs.
Yeah, I think on the iPhone, they also mentioned something, but I don't remember what the number was. But
we talked about that last night. Yeah, it was 50% of the Mac and iPads that were purchased were first time buyers of either one of those devices. Mm-hmm.
And I noted on Dave's show, In Touch with iOS, last night, so I'll note it again here today. That 50% number to me is very significant because Apple has a very high customer retention rate. And so when you have 50% of your purchases to new buyers, that means you're increasing your user base. And of those 50%, a substantial number will continue to be Apple customers going forward. So that's a big thing for the company as far as overall sales goes.
For sure.
Yeah. Mueller is totally disagreeing with me about...
he isn't disagreeing with anything.
Are we surprised?
Well, in this case, it's about gaming on Apple products. And,
or on the small screen.
Yeah. But you know, don't discount the casual gaming market. I put myself in the incredibly casual gaming market, and I'm buying games all the time that I play for 10 minutes and then never touch again. But that's still a sale.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, that is a pretty big chunk of the App Store revenue. From what I know, I think it's even a massive, like it's not even like 20% or 50%. I think it's more than that even, from what I remember. I mean, Apple doesn't release official numbers, but that's what people are guessing, that like something more like over 50% of all the money made on the App Store is in gaming.
Yeah, Bob Beach says he would never game on a Mac. That's not their forte. And and I agree, it's not their forte. And yet there are people that are gaming on the Mac. My assumption is that Apple's more popular gaming platform is the iPhone. And then maybe the iPad after that. And now with Apple Arcade, then maybe Apple TV after that, and then Mac.
But with all due respect to the who said they would never game, Bob. If this was not important, Apple wouldn't be putting all that effort into it. If this wasn't that important, the developers, more importantly, would not be putting the effort into it. Mm-hmm. They would leave the platform because, you know, who's going to build a product for a platform that doesn't sell on that platform? So, and Jeff, your point about the casual gaming market, I agree completely. You know, for those people that are just serious, who are buying dedicated machines to do the gaming and they're concerned about the frame rates and everything, that probably is not where Apple is going to have a stronghold. But for the people that just want to play something in line at the grocery store while they're waiting, or, you know, just want to sit down in front of the TV and do something mindless in the evening, yeah, I bet that's a really, really good point.
Don't underestimate the bathroom gamer.
Oh, true. Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah. And now that I think about it, what's that game that the Oatmeal just came out with recently? Kitty Letter.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That would be a perfect bathroom game.
Yeah. I mean, Ewan has talked about it a couple of times that he likes to do that. And he's probably not alone.
You know, I see cartoons, comic strips occasionally that make that joke. And if they can make the joke, that tells me that this is something that's common enough that people will get the joke and will find it funny. So, I'm thinking that bathroom gaming is probably a pretty big thing.
Yeah, I see it.
Apple's new platform. They need to hire
bathroom gaming by Apple.
Yeah, they should hire Ewan for that.
They should. He could be their part of their crack test team that tests gameplay, because you want a single game or single round of a game to last just about as long as you're going to be in the bathroom, not longer, but not too short. So that's going to take a lot of work.
Yeah, I mean, they do have an editorial team with like people that are good writers. That, I mean, that would totally work.
Yeah, totally.
I knew there were genres.
Let us run the show without him.
I know. I knew there were genres and subgenres. I had no idea the genres went the whole way down to that. I mean, that's.
Oh, Magic Man caught my crack game reference. Well done. All right. Is there anything else about Apple's earnings report that you want to discuss? I mean, we've taken this from they made all the money to let's make toilet games.
To sum it up, they made lots of money.
They made lots of money. Yes.
And you know, what's been funny is listening to all the folks who cover Apple and the commentators, and how just flat out shocked they were at how much money Apple made. I mean, this wasn't the kind of reporting that we've seen. You know, oh yeah, you know, Apple made another record quarter. Apple made another record quarter. This was, oh my God, Apple made an incredible record quarter. Yeah. You know, that's what started to catch my attention as the news came out.
And I mean, it comes after two pretty big record quarters. I mean, the holiday quarter was the biggest ever. And there are some reasons for it that Apple mentioned. One of them being that they only reached supply demand balance in late March, apparently. Wow. So basically the entire quarter was like a prolonged Christmas quarter. So that's
looking at insane. The numbers, yeah, that's a great way to describe it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's insane. I mean, they couldn't make the devices fast enough. Plus they had some pretty good releases now. Like the M1 Macs they have never sold as many Macs as I did this quarter.
No, the 10%.
Like, and I think that's on the back of the pandemic, and it's on the M1 Mac. That is incredibly popular.
All right. And so Chuck. No, it's all you.
Just and the M1 iMacs are just pre-ordered as we recorded this today. So they didn't even count. There was nothing even. It was only Mac Minis and laptops.
Yeah, didn't the new iMac didn't even count.
Right. Yep. So new iMac shows up in the Q3 sales numbers, and I'm curious, do any of you expect we'll call it the M2, since we don't know what Apple's going to call the next M series chip that they release. Do you expect the M2 Max to start rolling out during this next quarter?
Nope.
No. Okay. So nope. Let's go with that. So we will have Q3 sales where we'll get to see what happens with Mac numbers with the M1 iMac being available and also the M1 iPad Pro. And then we'll have Q4 potentially for the next M series chip, which will then lead us into the holiday season, which is Q1 for Apple. Mm-hmm. And yeah, okay. So now that I've talked through this,
what quarter are we in now?
We're in Q3 right now.
We're in Q3 right now. Okay, so Q4 will be June, July, July, August, September. Yeah, okay.
I think that Apple's mm-hmm. on a fiscal year.
Yes.
Yeah, I always forget. Like the Q1 is the Christmas quarter, basically.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, honestly, I don't even expect anything to happen in Q4 then. Q4 will probably be the summer quarter where not much happens, as always. Like at the end, you have the iPhones. Mm-hmm. But usually that doesn't matter at all, or like very minimally, because
yeah, there'll be a day or two typically of new iPhone sales in mm-hmm. Q4.
Yeah, they barely start shipping, and Apple does not count like orders. Apple only counts like shipped devices, shipped to customer.
Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking what we're going to see now is a steady increase of Mac sales throughout the rest of the year, and mm-hmm. then another jump when the M2 models come out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Christmas quarter.
I mean, they're selling a lot of Mac Minis right now. I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm. That Mac Mini is a very compelling machine. The M1 model.
They already got refurbs. Yeah. They're selling refurbs for $589 for the base model. So I mean, it's just like a great entry level.
Yeah. Yeah. The other interesting thing about what Apple said or what Tim said was there was a question about like average selling prices of iPhones and product mixes. And you know, Apple doesn't really talk too much about that. They usually don't want to talk about product mixes, but he commented on like what the big driver was for the sales numbers. And they said it is they have sold more, but also on a higher average selling price, which means that the Pro models are, because they're the more expensive ones, are incredibly popular. So it's mm-hmm. not, the price is not going down right now, it's going up, the average.
And I feel obligated to bring this up because we kind of got past the earnings call, but right now, if you're not using Apple Card, if you don't have an Apple Card and you're not using it to buy your hardware, you're just leaving money on the table.
Well, if you're in the US.
If you're in the US, yeah. Yeah. But you know, I mean, I look at this, you know, because you're getting 3% back if you're buying Apple hardware from Apple. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, that means that that is an automatic discount. And it also puts money in your pocket to go buy more Apple stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know,
and you have like 12 months, or depending on the device, 6 to 12 months. Like 0% financing.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah. I just did it with my iPad Pro. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm going to pay I got the Apple Card $47 a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah, like I said just only works in the US.
Includes my trade. So. Mm-hmm. When you do the trade, they automatically take it off. I mean, I don't have to even worry about. I just send it back to them when they want it, and because you know, usually when you trade it in, you gotta hope that they don't find any flaws to it, and well, hopefully they still won't, but they won't because it's mine's in good shape. But mm-hmm. but they, instead of you waiting for the money, now you're getting it right at the purchase.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, they've really got it figured out from every angle. And if you aren't pro Apple, then you think, you know, well, gee, this is just nefarious because you're buying from the company store. You are, you know, getting credit in the company store for buying in the company store. So you will buy more in the company store. Mm-hmm. But from a business model standpoint, and it's not like you're buying inferior products, you're buying great products. So if this is something you're going to do, you know, that, to be candid, the Apple Card deal outside of purchasing from Apple is not great. It's not bad. It's just not great. There are better cards out there.
Standard, I would say. I mean, I've used it for years. It's for the most part pretty standard. I have crappier cards. So.
Yeah, that's. I mean, well, it depends on whether you're using airline cards or cashback cards or whatever. Yeah. You know, you can find a couple better deals, but you know, it's just top to bottom, it's just one more thing. And I feel like it's something that may be getting kind of overlooked in the services category. I don't even want to make a guess at what percentage it is, but it's one more place that they have, they put a stake in the ground and it's slowly starting to build.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Chuck,
your thing with using the Apple credit card and being locked into the company's store, so to speak, on one hand, that's totally accurate because they have that credit card to help drive customer loyalty and customer sales. Mm-hmm. That's why I have an Apple card. Every single purchase that I make from Apple is done on my Apple card. So all mm-hmm. of my recurring subscriptions, when I buy new hardware, anything that I buy from the iTunes store, from the App Store, all of that goes on my Apple card. And mm-hmm. that's it. And then I have an Amazon card. And so all of my Amazon purchases happen with that. They own Whole Foods. So every week when I order my groceries, it goes onto that credit card. And then for things that I buy outside of those two locations, then I have just a Visa cashback card from my bank. Mm-hmm. And then that's everything else.
Yeah. But that's the thing about the Apple card. You don't have to use the cashback that you get on Apple stuff. It's just Apple Pay. You can use it anywhere that Apple Pay works. There's some limitations in apps I've discovered. Like some apps just don't accept it. But in store, it's just a card transaction, basically.
Mm-hmm. I do it plenty of times. I've gone through drive-thrus and just, use my Apple Watch and use my Apple Cash card, whatever I have a balance on it.
Exactly. I've done that too.
Yeah. Yep. So there you, it's another place that is not being looked at yet. But I think with as much scrutiny as, and I'm not sure I should say it deserves, but just because it's not perceived as that big a thing, but I think it's an important one that is brilliant. I mean, for a long time, everybody said, there should be some kind of Apple affinity program, some kind of loyalty mm-hmm. program. Well, this is it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is it. 3% discount.
Best ever they've ever had.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've partnered.
They've
partnered up with, I mean, it's not just when you buy at Apple. They've partnered up with some companies. So I think it's, for example, T-Mobile. If you buy something there, you get 30%. I think it's Uber Eats and probably Uber itself.
There's Panera some companies. Bread, the restaurant. Yeah. There's several. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, nothing like earth shattering. Other companies are doing the same thing. Like those partnerships have existed probably for a long time with other credit cards, but Apple is doing it too. Like,
yeah, I pay my T-Mobile account every month. I get 3%. Mm-hmm.
I have to say my physical wallet is a lot heavier than it used to be because the Apple card is metal. The Amazon mm-hmm. card is metal. And there's some heft to both of those cards.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't know if my card got a metal yet. I think mine's still plastic, but the Amazon one.
Yeah.
You're not in the exclusive metal program that Jeff is in.
Because they didn't send it to you.
Yeah. I'm actually very disappointed with my bank because they haven't sent me a metal version of my credit card yet.
I think it's still plastic. I know that doesn't have a number on it, but
yeah. And the chat room is bringing it up. Like the Apple card so far is only in the US, and that's kind of a shame. I have an idea. I mean, I don't know too much about the banking business, but I know a couple of people that have told me some stuff. I'm not surprised because it just takes forever to get approval for anything. And I'm pretty sure Apple wants to do Apple wants to bring their special stuff to other countries. So it's not just a standard Visa or MasterCard that you can basically print tomorrow and send out. They want to do some extra stuff that requires then special extra approval mm-hmm. from all the financial regulators all over the world. I mean, we saw it with Apple Pay. It took quite a while to leave the US. And I don't think it was because Apple wasn't ready to do it. It was because they needed all the
regulators.
The regulatory approval.
Right. Yeah. And they're Apple Pay is not worldwide yet.
Not quite, but it's getting close.
Sure. But I mean, we're talking about a feature that's been available for years, and it's still not quite worldwide yet.
Every couple of months, you get an announcement from Apple that it's now available in like another 3, 4, 5 countries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that one is just partnering up with banks. Like, I mean, getting the approval, but then it's just they partner up with the banks and that's it. So it's not even Apple rolling out their own bank. In that case.
Right.
I mean, they didn't do that in the US technically either. They partnered up with Goldman, but still.
Well, I think that's where the problem is. They have to find a bank that would partner with the account overseas. But Goldman Sachs won't do it.
But Goldman is operating in other countries.
Yeah. So maybe, I don't know. So it's weird. I mean, if you remember the previous account they had was Barclays. I mean, the App Rewards, I had that account too. That's now, of course, they want me to keep my business. So now they're switching it to a different type of card. But the Barclays obviously is worldwide.
But we've seen this the regulatory issues with TV, with music, with, pretty much everything. I mean, Apple moves at one speed. I don't think that this necessarily means that the U.S. is that much better. I think Apple obviously knows the game better in the U.S. because that's where they're domiciled. But we also know that there are a lot of these countries, especially some of the European countries, no disrespect intended, that are being a lot more careful about some things and have a lot tougher or lengthier regulatory approval processes.
Yeah,
so, to blame Apple for it is... I'm like you, Patrice. I don't know the background, but if I had to bet between the two, I would think it would make Apple would want to do it everywhere as soon as possible because they're going to make money on it. So, it's not like they're holding it back for any particular reason other than regulatory.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure I fully agree with that. I'm pretty sure Apple has held it back for a little while. During development, like they probably developed it for the US or for like a limited market to iron out all the issues. Like that makes sense that you don't, I mean, Apple is at a scale where they could probably do that, like launch it everywhere in the world. And they've done it for like Apple TV Plus and some other stuff where they had full control. But that's something, I mean, Apple TV Plus is kind of something that they already knew. Like they've been distributing movies and music and stuff in the entire world for decades by now. So that wasn't a big stretch for them. But like a credit card or some other services that they've done, like Apple Pay, I think they just wanted to make sure that they get it right first before they roll it out everywhere.
That's a fair point.
I'm pretty sure, but it doesn't. I mean, that just means they could have like maybe they waited like during the 4-year development phase. The first 2 years they focused on the U.S. and then they started to make it ready for the rest. And by the time it rolled out in the U.S., they were kind of ready to get the process started for the other countries. And it just takes that long.
Yep. That seems very plausible. Yeah. Okay, so our topic path today. So far has been very fluid and I'm totally okay with that. And I figure as long as we're staying fluid, I'm going to hop into something that Bob Beach mentioned in the chat because I want your opinions on this. So he was speculating on what we're going to get in an M2 iMac, which I think the next iMac will have a more powerful processor than the M1, and he was speculating on screen size, and I'm with him on this. I think that the next iMac will have, we'll call it the M2 processor, and we'll have maybe like a 30-inch screen, maybe even up to 32 inches, and I think this is going to be the iMac that takes the place of iMac Pro, but will still have the iMac name. And so that's my take on what's coming for the iMac. What do you think?
I could see it. I could see it with the fact that in the enterprise where I work, 32 inches becoming more and more of a standard size screen. And just looking at, not just when I get back to the iMac in a minute, but Dell is now making a screen that's got a built-in docking station in it now. So everything plugs into the monitor. You don't have to have any other extra accessories and plug it in. So I'm looking, when I see that trend happening on that end of things, which we don't talk about, I could definitely see Apple doing the same thing as a whole computer with it being a 32-inch screen. And that doesn't necessarily have to be a curved. I'm sure it won't be. It'll probably be a flat. I can't imagine them doing a curved, but with the amount of real estate that 32-inch gives you, and especially the resolution, they could go 8K on this thing. It's going to be a pretty incredible machine, and probably pretty pricey too.
I would assume so. Yeah, I mean, especially if they go 8K on the display,
right?
Yeah, I mean, when you said it's not going to be called the iMac Pro, I don't think so. I think if they wanted to have another iMac, they would have announced it now. I think the new one will be, the bigger one will simply be the iMac Pro.
Yeah, well, okay, here's why I'm saying the iMac Pro name isn't going to be used. And I am totally willing to accept that I'm wrong on this. But when the iMac, the current iMac Pro went away, it just simply went away. And it's as if it never existed. And I think if they were planning on keeping the Pro name, they would have done something that indicated that the Pro name was sticking around. And I'm totally aware that this is a very thin logic thread.
Very, very thin.
Yeah. But I also feel like they're going back to reserving Pro for their high-end desktop computer as opposed to their high-end all-in-one computer.
Just remember, okay. Apple never, I think, officially announced that the iMac Pro wasn't, as far as I remember, it was kind of rumored or someone noticed it, and then Apple said, yeah, okay, yes, we're not selling that machine anymore. But they never officially said the iMac Pro is gone.
All right, that's a good point.
Yeah, they just said, okay, yeah, this machine that we've been selling, we're selling it as long as we have iMacs around.
So you're doing an excellent job of slicing up this very thin logic thread that I have.
Yeah. But Jeff, I might pile on just a little bit there, because there are indications that the Pro name will live on. I mean, we have an iPad Pro now. Not that we didn't have before, but we have an iPad Pro that is clearly a much more expensive, much more powerful machine. We have the MacBook Pro 13-inch, which is the M1. So, you know, there's a Pro in the laptop, there's Pro in the iPad. iPhone Pro. So I would not be surprised to see an iMac Pro as well as a Mac Pro. The iMac Pro being what we've been talking about here, but then a Mac Pro that is like a real beast that is, no matter how much we all might want it, it's not going to be priced or built for us. You know, that's just right. The way it is. Close.
All right. Like so basically, the two of you, you have completely killed my theory. and I'm not complaining. And I'm not even upset, because what you're saying actually totally makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. So when an iMac Pro comes out, because based on your much more solid logic, it seems like that's going to happen. I'll just be like, yeah, you called it. You're right. And if they don't bring the Pro name back for the iMac, at this point, I will now be like, holy crap, I was right.
Yeah. I mean, anything is possible with Apple. I just want to say the Mac Pro It will be a beast. And I mean, if we get our billion, then we might buy one.
Yeah.
Just because we can't, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, sure. I guess, I mean, what I've, this is dangerous, but you know, what would pros want in a Mac Pro? Right. You're going to want lots of IO. They've got the XDR display to connect it to. But of course you'll be able to connect it to other things that are a bit less expensive. But one of the big appeals to the cheese grater was that people could stuff it full of storage. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now we have Thunderbolt 3, Thunderbolt 4 coming up or here already. So, you know, you're going to have a lot of IO with that, but what else would you need or want except just to cram all the horsepower into it? You can. So I feel like there's been a consumer line. Apple has gone back to a little bit of kind of the matrix that Steve Jobs used when he came back, just expanded. There's a pro line and a consumer line for just about every product, including the AirPods, actually, come to think of it.
Yeah, so, that's true.
You know, but there would
the one we don't have that with is Apple Watch at this point.
True.
Not
but
yet.
To me, the Mac Mini is the Mac Pro consumer level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That and so it would make sense to have a Mac Pro that is the monster up above and then fill in that quasi middle ground with an iMac Pro that is expensive, but also delivers a lot of power.
I don't even think the iMac Pro and the Mac Pro are on the same level, like in the same line. I think those are two separate areas. There's the people that want the all-in-one and want power. They don't want to buy a display. They just want a really powerful, and like we've listened to people like that. There are podcasts out there galore that talk about it. All-in-one, one display, one thing, and as much power as possible. Like all the video editors and so on love that device. That's what they want. They might need the Mac Pro for like crazy rendering, and if they need even whatever 8K stuff, or like have it as a server even somewhere. But that's, as I said, that's a separate line basically.
And don't forget, there's been a rumor for the Mac Pro Mini. Are they going to have a mini version of the Mac Pro? Yeah. When and they obviously still have to. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the Mac Pro is going to be the very last machine that they go to the Apple Silicon as well. So you've still got that going too.
But I have a theory about that, and I think it's in line with what Chuck said. I think what we see as a Mac Pro Mini is the new Mac Mini. It's the consumer version of the Mac Pro.
Yeah. Yeah, with the Thunderbolt 4 ports, that totally fits.
Yeah, yeah. They haven't changed the Mac Mini in, I don't know, basically almost since it existed. Like it's barely changed since then.
I mean, you look inside the Mac Mini, it's a half of what it used to be. You go inside it. And amazingly, they left the size the same way it is now, but there's so much empty space inside there now.
Yeah. They've probably produced like a million of those cases, and they're just like, let's just throw the internals in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why I said, I think that, I mean, and it's totally just an idea. I think that they're like, that design is going away, and it will be as I said, a Mac Pro Mini, like a design that at least takes the idea of the Mac Pro, but then scales it down to like a really small device.
Yep. The big benefit that I see right now for people that are buying the Mac Pro, and do we still call it a cheese grater or do we call it Alien Face?
It's still a cheese grater. I saw someone who can still, you can still grate cheese on it. So,
oh, that's true. Someone actually did to prove it. Yeah, that's right. Okay. So the current cheese grater Mac Pro, the big benefit that I see for a lot of pro users is that you can throw a bunch of GPUs in it.
Yeah.
Good point.
Now, granted, with Thunderbolt 3 and Thunderbolt 4, you can do an external chassis and throw GPUs in that. And I've even tested one of those at one point, and holy crap, it was amazing.
Oh, imagine how fast it was.
Yeah, I plugged into my MacBook Pro, and it was crazy what it did with my display. It was like getting a display upgrade. Yeah. All right. Well, so we've managed to hit one of the planned topics that I had for today.
We've been there before, I think, on another show. So,
yeah, and very likely on this show as well. Yeah. But hey, that's okay because
it's a good topic. Good
conversation. We've been having a lively discussion here and in the chat room, and I think that means it's time for me to say, hey, this show and all the others are sponsored by TSO Hosts. They are giving us the bandwidth we need and the storage space we need to bring shows to you every single week, regardless of whether or not we talk about the things that we intend, or if we just kind of go off on a different path and have at least an interesting discussion. Making sure that every show that we record, or at least the ones that we want to keep around, are there for you so you can go back and watch or listen at your leisure. And seriously, without them, we would not be able to have these streams coming to you every single week. They do provide hosting, and you can buy domain names through them too. So if you need either of those services, hit them up. What they're asking of us is that we take to social media, pick your favorite social media platform, and give them a shout out. Tell them that you appreciate that they're here for us, and they're doing their part to make sure that the British Tech Network is on the digital air for you every single week. And we're also sponsored by iMend Max, and that's the company that will take your Apple gear that needs to be fixed and do it right. And they have these amazingly cool Qi chargers that I don't have, but Patrice does.
Yeah, I got one. I'm really happy. Thanks to iMend Max, they just shipped it with my Mac that I fixed. So I'm super happy and. Like I need a Qi charger, so now I got one.
Yeah, that's awesome. When someday I will have an iMend Max Qi charger, or even just an iMend Max mug, I will be happy with anything, nearly anything with the iMend Max logo on it. There are certain things that should never have logos on them. Anyhow, they will fix your gear for you. Instead of just saying, we'll just replace the logic board and see if that fixes it. They actually figure out what has gone wrong with your device, and then they replace that component, which is awesome. And they also sell used Apple gear, and they give you a warranty with that as well. And Cal, who unfortunately couldn't be with us today because he's so busy fixing all of your stuff, he's the only person that I feel like I can truly trust to crack open my Apple gear that's out of warranty and work on it. And the ironic tragedy is that there is an ocean and half a continent separating us. So I have two iPads sitting here that work, but need to have their batteries replaced. And it's just not happening because I can't reasonably get those over to Callum at iMend Max. So maybe one of these days, maybe the Big Bash, I'll be able to swing out and I'll bring my iPads with me and we'll get Cal to replace the batteries and maybe we'll even live stream it. And Mueller keeps saying that I should just buy a plane ticket to get Callum out here to Boulder, which would make for some epic videos. As I take him around and totally. Maybe we'll get lucky and we'll see a bear or two. It would be awesome. So they'll give you a discount also. Just mention your BTN fan and they'll hook you up. All right. So it is now time for the cool thing. Something is 68%.
Oh, my battery is at 68%. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, there
you
go. I
have an automation that tells me what the battery level is when I plug it in or unplug it.
Oh my God, that's brilliant. I need to make that.
Okay, I can send it to you.
Yes, please. And now I don't even have to make it. And every time I get the announcement about my battery charge, I'll say, that's so cool. And Patrice gave that to me. Yes. So Patrice, what's your cool thing?
So my cool thing is something for the Mac today. I decided not to go with like a TV show or movie this time. Just because I've been madly in love with the Apple TV screensavers for like basically since they came out. And I'm to this day. And I think when this came out, I installed it immediately and it has been literally years. I don't even know how long. There's an app I think you could call it an app called Arial Screensaver that will bring those Apple TV screensavers to your Mac. And want to like, nice. Exactly. It's not a reproduction or something weird. They just figured out how the Apple TV is doing it and then replicated it as a Mac screensaver. So it loads the same exact video files and everything.
That's really cool.
Yeah, free, like completely free, open source. They have like, there's a settings app where you can even select which ones you want. And like they do even give you more control than what Apple would give you. It's crazy that Apple hasn't done that.
I agree.
They have it on the Apple TV and it's not on the Mac. And they have beautiful displays on the Mac that would be so, so great. And they're not doing it. So this has been around for forever, a couple of years at least. And it's compatible with macOS 10.12. So whatever that is, that's...
Oh, it's also compatible with Big Sur and the Apple Silicon Macs.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I think there might be, for older Macs, there might be a version out there somewhere. Because it, as I said, it has been around for a very long time.
That's so cool. Well, now I would say I know what I'm doing after we're done with the show. Mm-hmm. After we're done with the show, I have to go get an AirTag. So
then you're going to watch. Yeah, and then you're going to sit in front of your Mac and watch.
I'm going to sit in front of my Mac just like this.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing keep in mind, and that's probably part of the reason why it's not on the Mac yet, is it does spin up your fans, at least on your Intel Macs, a little bit, especially the older ones. Because the videos are so high quality that, yeah, it does take some power, especially on big displays and so on.
All right. So the fan that I hear most of the time, that's not going to change.
No. No, as I said, at least for me, it does spin up the fans a tiny little bit. It's not like full on running, but it's a little bit. So keep that in mind. As I said, so you shouldn't run it on your, and you can set that, you shouldn't run it on your Mac when it's on battery. That's probably going to kill it.
Good call.
Yeah, because I mean, it's technically playing a video on your Mac. So kind of makes sense.
So Patrice, before I move on to Chuck, since we've been talking about things happening in the chat room, would you mind telling people how they can find the chat?
Oh yeah, of course. Head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, then navigate to the 30th of April, 2021. And there you will find all the links, everything we've talked about and all everything that other people have talked about in the chat room. And as always, do never, ever, ever click on a link that Muller Biker, aka Muller in the chat room, has posted. It's just safer. Just safer.
That's right. Okay? Yep. Good life choice right there. Chuck, what do you have for us today?
Muller is validating that in the chat room right now. yeah. Okay. So my sister has a birthday and I wanted to do a photo collage, several photo collages for her party. And I've looked at a lot of the iPhone and iOS collage apps. I've looked at the Mac apps. I only found one that was able to let me do everything that I wanted to do. And admittedly, it wasn't terribly sophisticated, but just the basic kind of things of pick the picture, be able to zoom into it, crop it or rotate it or do whatever. It would be nice if it had a bunch of layouts, which this did. Sorry, I should have put this in the chat room by now. I found Picture Collage Maker 3. from something called Pearl Mountain Technology. This let me do everything and more that I wanted to do. It's $14.99 right now in the App Store. And that's 60% off according to them for a limited time. I don't know how limited that time is. But this just, I mean, it was just simple. I just dragged the picture into where I wanted it to be, rotated, adjusted. The controls were not great as far as if you want to do actual work on the photo itself. So that would have to be somewhere else. But as far as if you just want to, and if you want to do this quick and dirty, you can throw it in, throw them in and go. It lets you drop in colors or gradients for the background of the collage. That's all I can say. It did everything and more that I wanted to do for this project that I had in mind. And I know there were some iOS apps out there that I've played with before and they do an okay job, but I just found it easier to do on my Mac and much more flexible. So if this is something you want to do, I can't recommend this any higher. Oh, and I should say too, it's pretty much supports, it'll support custom sizes. So it's not like you're limited to an 8.5 by 11 or whatever. And this is designed for output. So, you know, that's what I'm going to use it for, is I'm taking it to a printer to get it done. But I was able to set up, you know, different page sizes that could then be exported as PDF and went to Staples and got them printed. So go try it out. I think you'll be happy with it.
Cool.
Thanks.
Very cool. All right, Dave, what do you have?
Well, I backed this through Indiegogo. I just realized it was July of last year. It's made by a company called ADG. It was they won one of the Innovation Awards for CES. It's the world's first 100-watt GaN 9-in-1 power hub. And it's pretty incredible. They said it's shipped, so but I haven't received it yet. But I wanted to still bring it to everybody's attention here as well, because it's got some pretty incredible things on here, and the GaN charging feature is really a big thing. So that you can really have some fast charging here. But you have three USB-C ports. Two of them are 100 watts, and one of them is the PD and a PD plus hub, and then the 30 watt is a hub as well with the PD. Then you have one USB-A. Which is a Mac 7.5 hub, as well as HDMI, SD card reader, micro SD. Also has gigabit Ethernet and audio jack. So it thing is really loaded with a lot of connections in one place. And in fact, this could help if you were to buy the low end iMac that doesn't come with the power brick that doesn't have the gigabit Ethernet port too. So I think this is pretty cool. I'm looking forward to receiving it. I haven't received it yet, but they say it's shipped. But you know how it goes with Indiegogo. But this is available now, and you can purchase it. This is the link in the show notes. Is their direct website. So check it out. I thought it was a pretty cool device.
Cool. Okay, my pick this week is an iPhone and iPad app called Emulsio. And this is an app that lets you stabilize video. So if you have a video where, you know, it's kind of jiggly from the camera moving, and you want to have a lot of control over stabilizing the video, this is a really cool app. You can actually go in and fine tune how much jiggle it's taking out, and it has presets for specific cameras. You know, like it knows if you shot the video, say on a specific iPhone model or specific iPad model, and so it can account for the way that iPhone model is actually capturing video, and better stabilize the image for you. And then of course you can just save the video or send it off to another app, whatever you want to do. And it's easy to use and it's pretty cool. It is a $10 app, but if you're someone that needs to have a lot of control over image stabilization in videos that either you've shot or someone else has given you, this is a really cool tool to do it. And you can do it when you're on the go. So it's like $9.99, and it's a slick little app. I bought it, and the first time I used it, I felt like I got more than $10 worth of value out of it.
Very nice.
All right. So we're at the end of yet another show, and our timing is perfect because we're really good at that. And this is in spite of the fact that Kat tried to derail the start of the show by going all gymnastic on me and hanging off the side of a mattress over a railing Anyhow, good times.
Let's face it, the cat is working for the competition.
My office manager cat is a mole.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
It makes it, is she in here with me now? No, she's not, which means she's off talking to the competition even as we speak. Yeah. Oh.
Sharing all your secrets.
Oh.
I wonder what that makes the spider that was on my shoulder. Jeff's cat is a mole. What's
a bug?
A bug. Yeah. A bug. Yeah. Cute, Jeff. Cute.
Yeah. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, every week here on the Mac Show every Friday, and also on the Big Show every Thursday. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links and projects and stuff, and also my Buy Me a Coffee link, you can find on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is the Foodie Flashback, where I talk to interesting people about food and food-related memories. And there's a session coming up with David Ginsberg. So we'll record one. Going to take a couple weeks to edit probably because I haven't even released the last one yet. But yeah, stay tuned for that. It's going to be awesome.
Cool.
And that you can find at foodieflashback.com.
Cool. Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com is the best place. And on Tuesday nights on YouTube at MacVoices TV, we do the MacVoices live show. And David and Jeff are pretty regular. Patrice, one of these days, I hope you'll stay up extra late. For you, it'll be very late, but we got to get you on. And on the socials, I'm at Chuck Joyner. Thanks, Jeff. Good job as always.
Oh, thanks. And Dave, where can people find you?
Find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. I have a show to edit for today. We had Jeff and Brittany Smith on last night. That was an absolutely awesome show. So that'll be coming out probably today. Also find me on Mac Voices Live. Like I said, I'm pretty much a regular every week there and really enjoy doing that. And president of the Suburban Chicago Apple Users out in Chicago here for the Mac Apple User Group. And you also can find me on Twitter at DaveG65. And great job, Jeff. Thanks.
Well, thanks. All right. Well, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I am Jay Gamut both places. And I am now a regular on Mac Voices Live. So thanks for that, Chuck. And just did last night In Touch with iOS, Dave's show. So thanks for having me on for that. And of course, on Thursdays, the Big Show. Here we are on Friday for the Mac Show. Also, I've started making some videos, so you can check those out on YouTube. I am Jay Gamut there as well. And Mueller says I'm a regular on every podcast in the universe. Nearly every podcast.
True.
Nearly every podcast. Yeah, so go check out my videos right now. There's one on calibrating your Apple TV, and there's another one on setting up the feature to unlock your iPhone while you're wearing a face mask, and then my initial thoughts on the Spring Loaded event, and more coming soon. And since I'm going to be picking up an AirTag in just a little bit, it's a safe bet there'll be an AirTag video before too long as well. So, wow. Thanks to all three of you for being here today with me. You absolutely rock. And thanks to our audience that's hanging out with us today in the chat room. You are absolutely awesome. And I've loved the conversation going on in the chat today. And Kat just came up, smacked my leg, and walked away. So I'm not sure what that was all about.
She listened to you.
She did. I think that was exactly it. Cats. And oh yeah, Magic Man pointed out, I was also recently on the Brew and Bite podcast, which was a lot of fun. And yes, audience, thank you for being here. Those of you that are tuning in later and watching or listening at your leisure, thank you for being part of this too. All of you absolutely rock. You're wonderful. I love every one of you. Have a wonderful weekend. And Ewan, when you can finally break away from lounging on your yacht, we are looking forward to seeing you back too. Everyone have an awesome weekend. Done.
Nicely done.
Well done.
I have to tell you, Jeff, when you said there's a spider on your shoulder, I'm thinking, okay, what's that a metaphor for? Is that a British saying that I missed? Or
it's a metaphor for there's a spider on your shoulder.
On your shoulder, yeah. Oh, man.
I mean, if it had been a fly, I wouldn't have said anything. But, you know, I know that spiders can be different for people. So I thought, I actually need to tell you about this one.
Yeah. And I'm one of those people, because I mean, it's nothing like medically dangerous, but if I get, you know, like those small spider bites, I mean, they will just swell up and get hard and itch for like 3 days and then go away, but they're just annoying as the devil. And so I really did appreciate it.
Well, I'd say I've got your back, but in this case, I've got your shoulder.
Okay, that's good. And you're going to pick up your AirPods. I just got an alert on my watch that my AirPods have been delivered, so I'm going to go to my front door and pick mine up.
Oh, how exciting!
Yeah.
And I just
Earlier than mine.
Oh, this is weird. See, Amazon Treasure Truck became available in Boulder literally this week. So I've been getting text messages every day, and each day, you know, this message shows up and there's like no context for this statement about some product. And every day I'm like, what? And today it's craving a margarita.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll take one.
Yeah. So there's a, the Califon blender. I can get 30% off just in time for Cinco de Mayo.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
All righty.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. We'll be in touch.
That was loads of fun. I'm going to kill the live stream. Thanks, live stream people. You are absolutely awesome. And there we go.
Have a good weekend. Dead.
Yep. Everybody have a good weekend. I'll talk on Sunday, Patrice.
Talk to you on Sunday.
All right.
Bye.
And
bye,
guys. I need to go make a snack before I have to go pick up my AirTag.
See ya.
Sounds good.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
See ya.
See ya.